सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। We often hear people saying, "Bahut pad liya, I have studied a lot. I have heard it many times. I don't need to hear this again. Now it's time to practice." Or people say, "Why do they keep on repeating the same thing? We have heard it before. You know, God is everywhere. God is everything. And you should be balanced. So why is this message being repeated again and again?" The example they give is of the Grand Canyon. We know that the Colorado River took billions of years. The land was flat, but constant flow of that created a groove which is 7 miles deep, and it takes a day or more than a day to go down and come up. So similarly, in our mind, there are grooves of vasanas, which are several lifetimes. And so just by listening once or twice or even 10 times or 20 times, what we have to do is make the groove of knowledge so much deeper that it overcomes this groove of vasanas. And that's why repeated listening. In fact, one Mahatma told me that keep on listening until you reach enlightenment. So if we think that we are at the level of Shankaracharya ji or Swami Vivekananda or Bhagwan Raman Maharishi or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, if we think we are there, then it's okay. Then we don't need to listen anymore. We can just practice. But until we reach that state of enlightenment, it is essential for every one of us to again and again listen. You can listen to talks, you can read it in the books, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the scriptures, you can listen on the internet. But again, on the internet, one has to be very careful which sites you are visiting, you know, because some of them know the truth, some of them just project that they know the truth. Even the books or the commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, it is very important to have an authentic commentary by a master. And that's why, so repeated listening, what it does is it makes this knowledge so firm that we don't have to exert. Just as if I ask you whether you're a man or a woman, and you will say, I know that since childhood I have been thinking. So just as that understanding, as I am a man or a woman, that understanding should be that I am that divinity, and that one divinity, not only in me, but in everybody. So only then we can stop listening. Until then, we have to continue to repeatedly listen to this knowledge, and listening by various ways, as we mentioned, reading, you know, and so on, contact with Mahatmas. So many wonderful Swamijis come to Bakersfield, also on Chinmaya channel, you can get. So far in this chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, after Arjuna's request, Madanu Grahaya Parmam Guhyam Madhyatma Sangitam, you have told me about your glory. Drashtum Ichchami Te Rupam Aishwaryam Purushottama. O Lord, I wish to see your divine form. And then he translates that instead of a command into an humble request. Manyase yadi tat shakyam maya drashtum iti prabho. If you think, O Lord, that I am capable of it, then please show me that form, or you make me capable of seeing that form. At this moment, I may not be. And that's why Bhagavan says, you know, divyam dadami te chakshuhu. I'll give you this divine vision. Where Pashya me yogam aishwaram, where you will be able to see my divine glory, because at this moment, you and I, like Arjuna, are not capable of seeing that totality, that oneness. And so we have to develop this divya chakshu. We say, well, Bhagavan Sri Krishna hasn't come to give me that divine vision. How am I? That's what this 11th chapter is for, that, for us to develop that divine vision, which the Lord gave to Arjuna. And this vision is in the form of knowledge. And we'll talk about that more and more. But the reason we are not able to see the totality is because we are very preoccupied with our own problems, my family, my this, my that. And so we are unable to see beyond my limited world of my family, my home, my car, my bank balance, my stock market. That's all real, my 501, you know, my pension plan. But what we'll see today and next week is how, when a person gets stunned, that's what happens to Arjuna when he sees this divine vision. It's like as if he's stunned, and in that stunned state, he's not able to think of not myself, but Bhagavan widens his vision. And that's what happened to Neeru and me when in 2001, we went to Mumbai to attend the 50th anniversary of Chinmaya Mission, where it was 50 years since Gurudev had started the Chinmaya Mission. And in the 50th anniversary, we saw people from all over the world, every corner of the world. There were thousands and thousands of people. And as you see them walking and attending all these lectures, you see that totality of this mission. And the mission is again a small part of the universe, but that kind of is this stunning, you know, where suddenly you see the totality. And it widens. So this kind of picture, when you see the wideness, you see the totality. And so this is what we have studied so far, where the Lord has started showing Arjuna the vision. And last week we went to Dhritarashtra's palace of the king, where Sanjay, our divine correspondent, our regional correspondent, is telling us what he sees in this battle, because Sanjay also had been given this divine vision by Vedvyasji, where sitting in the palace of the king, he's able to see something that is happening several miles away. And so Sanjay will now continue. Eva muktva tato rajan mahayogeshvaro harihi darshaya masa parthaya paramam rupam aishwaram. That's where we had left last week, where Sanjay now is talking about this divine form that he is seeing. Arjuna has not started speaking yet. He's stunned. His mind is just completely quiet. So Arjuna is quiet, but the teaching goes on through the mouth of Sanjay. So Harsha and Girish Bhai can please chant. Verse number 10 and 11 will chant together. You may please unmute Girish Bhai. Yeah, thank you. So verse number 10 and 11 will chant together. Aneka vaktra nayanam. Aneka adbhuta darshanam.
Aneka buddha darshanam.
Aneka divya bharanam.
Aneka divya bharanam.
Divyanekodyatayudham.
Divyanekodanayudham.
Okay, verse number 11. Divyamalyambaradharam.
Divyamalyambaradharam.
Divyagandhanulepanam.
Divyagandhanulepanam.
Sarvashcharyamayam devam.
Sarvashcharyamayam devam.
Anantam vishvato mukham.
Anantam vishvato mukham.
Okay, you can please mute. We'll all chant together, everybody. Aneka vaktra nayanam. Aneka adbhuta darshanam. Aneka divyabharanam. Divyanekodyatayudham. Divyamalyambaradharam. Divyagandhanulepanam. Sarvashcharyamayam devam. Anantam vishvato mukham. So now Sanjay is speaking. And what does he say? Aneka vaktra nayanam. Anek means many, numerous faces and eyes, or mouths and eyes. Both vaktra can mean either one. Anek adbhuta darshanam. Wondrous sights I am seeing. Sanjay is watching this divine form of Bhagwan with all the whole universe seen there. Aneka divya bharanam, and wonderful ornaments, divine ornaments on this form of the Lord. The various forms is covered with beautiful ornaments. Divya aneka udyata ayudham. He says aneka, numerous divine weapons, udyata, are being carried by this divine form, ayudham. They have been carried. Ayudham means weapons. Divya malya. Malya means all these malas, you know, these garlands, ambara dharam, and these wondrous clothes I am seeing. Divya gandha anulepanam, and this form of the Lord has beautiful fragrance. So when you next time put on fragrance, put on some perfume or lotion or some fragrant soap, remember it's the Lord's fragrance. Anything that you see is fragrant. You smell a fragrant flower, that's Bhagwan. So he says, Divya Gandha Anulepanam. This fragrance is pervading this entire atmosphere. See, Sanjay is sitting so far away, but not only he can see, he can hear, he can even smell the fragrance, and he can actually go into the minds of the people, as we will see later on. He can actually see what is happening in Arjuna's mind. That much divine vision was given to him. So Divya Gandha Anulepanam Sarvashcharya Mayam. All Ashcharya. Ashcharya is, wow, it's amazing. I can't explain it. You know, that is Ashcharyam. So he says, I cannot even explain this wonder of this Lord's form. Anantam Vishvato, Anantam, unending Vishvato Mukham, all the faces of the entire universe I see here. It is endless. It is goes on and on and on. I cannot see as far as the eyes can go. I can just see the Lord, Lord and Lord alone. So what we see is that Sanjay at this moment is not talking logically. You know, he's just running from topic to topic because his mind is as baffled as Arjuna's mind. Sometimes he says ornament, sometimes he sees weapon, sometimes he sees faces, eyes, clothes. So it's like just the wonder of the, you know, these shlokas are so powerful, the poetry, how this each individual reacts, and we'll see how Arjuna reacts. That is even more powerful. We'll do that next week. So what this teaching is, that all faces, all beings are the Lord's faces, our Lord himself, whether it's a human, whether it's a man or a woman or a child or somebody who is good or bad or an insect or a bug or a flower or a, everything is Lord, animals, birds, plant. See everything as the Lord's faces, as his, and this vision is incomprehensible. It is not something very easy for us to visualize, to see God everywhere and in everything, because again, we are so, our ego is so limited, our thinking is limited. And that's what all these great masters tell us, to that we have to expand our vision. Make your vision bigger. Just do not just limit yourself to this limited eye and mind, but expand it to include everything. And that's why artists, when they paint this picture of the Lord, what they show is Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the middle, and then on the side they show Brahmaji, and then they show Lord Shiva, and then they show other Indra and Vayu and the sun god, and then all humans and everything is moving out of that one form. So it is an intellectual concept. It is a intellectual understanding, because to think that God will come and show me this form, we can see this form. You just have to go out in your backyard and see the sky and see the sun and the clouds and the birds chirping in the trees. Everything, the grass growing, it's all the Lord's wonder. And this is called Vishishta Advaita. See, there are three teachings in our Vedanta. One is Dvaita. Dvaita is where I see myself as separate from God. I am this limited creature and God is all powerful, and I go and pray to God, and that is fine. That is good. Then Vishishta Advaita. Vishishta Advaita is where God is here in Dvaita. I am separate from God. I can never be one with God because God is so powerful. I am so useless. So that is Dvaita, where you see duality too. Then the second is Vishishta Advaita, where I see God as all and I am a part of it. It is called Ansha Anshi. So he is the Anshi, he is the total, all part of that totality. That's why in 10th chapter, in the 15th chapter, Bhagavan says, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. So he says, this whole universe is just a small part of me. So then our idea becomes that this whole Jiva and Jagat, Jiva means me, the individuality, Jagat means the world, all of us are just a small part of that Lord. So that is the second. And the third is that there is actually Lord alone and I don't exist. I am nothing but that divinity, and this whole universe is just one. That divinity alone is, and there is nothing except that divinity. Then the world even does not have any independent existence. Divinity, and it's just like a movie, or just like where I watch a movie on the screen alone is real, movie is temporary. So then the world loses its reality, loses its importance. Does not mean I don't see the world, I don't function in the world. But I do not give any reality to the world. There is only one reality. So that is a stepwise growth. And that's what the Bhagavad Gita will take us to that higher level, especially in the 13th chapter, which is the absolute essence of the Upanishads. We will study it in more detail. So unless you remove this I and mine, otherwise this 11th chapter will be like I'm watching a movie. Okay, I'm watching a movie. Arjuna is there and Bhagwan is showing his form and he's showing all the gods in there and all the planets and all the stars and all the beings. Yeah, I am watching. But this I and mine have to dissolve and I have to become one with that. So that is the idea of this. And then what is the result of this? What is the practical application? Okay, theek hai, I studied on Sunday morning, but then how do I apply that in my life? By developing compassion. Because I see it all in me, so then there is no room for anger, for hatred, for jealousy, for selfishness. I develop spontaneous love and compassion for all beings. Of course, you have to deal with individuals differently, like in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, you know, this Brahmane, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Shuni Cha Shvapake Cha Pandita Samadarshinaha. So a wise person remains the same in whether he sees a Brahman who is educated and very humble, or a cow, or an elephant, or a dog eater. In all, he sees one divinity. It does not mean he will treat the Brahman as the same as the dog. If the Brahman comes to his house, Brahman does not mean the caste, means a learned person comes to his house, he will welcome him, give him a place to sit, offer him food. If dog comes, you know, he will treat the dog, give him some food and let him go. It's not that he will touch the dog's feet, but inside he knows that there is one divinity. And so that is how this knowledge changes our vision. What we think is we should see miracles, you know, like Bhagwan showed miracles with Draupadi and then to his mother and then to Arjuna. But think about it. Every breath you take is a miracle. You know, we take it for granted, but just the ask people who have asthma or who have allergies, who can't breathe, how precious this breath is. We sleep at night. Do we say, oh, I have to make sure I don't forget to breathe? No, the Lord breathes for us and the heart continues for 90 years, 72 times a minute, for how many minutes, how many hours in the day, how many years, billions and millions of times the heart. That is the miracle. You see the sun rising every day. You know, the planets moving, the comets, the flower, those are all miracles. You know, people say, bina chamatkar nahi namaskar. Unless I see a miracle, I'm not going to bow down. No, these Swamijis are giving us these miracles by teaching us this knowledge. So you don't need to go anywhere to see the miracle. Just look out in your backyard. This reminds me of Moses. When Moses, you know, he went to meet the Lord and to get the Ten Commandments, he saw the Lord himself appear to him. That's how evolved he was. And when he came down, people said, what did you see? What did you see? And for days, he didn't speak. He was just stunned. He was just silent and he was sitting like a madman. And people like, oh, you met the Lord? And he couldn't even say yes or no. So that's how the state of these Mahatmas, when they meet the Lord, they just cannot speak. I'll talk, give a few more examples today in our talks about different saints who have seen the Lord. And talking about Moses, finally, when he started speaking, so they asked him, so what did you hear? So here, this is a little humorous. So he says, well, you know, I have good news and bad news. So they say, you have good news and bad news? Okay, give us the good news first. He says, good news is actually he was giving me 18 commandments, but I was able to bargain him down. From 18, it's only 10 commandments. So that's the good news. You only have to follow 10 instead of 18. They said, oh, that's the good news. He said, well, what is the bad news? He says, bad news is adultery is still a sin. He said, that's, so you can't commit adultery. You might think it is okay. So, so the point is that this vision is stunning. It's very, very powerful. So we'll continue. What Sanjay saw is a most beautiful verse, is one of the best verses in this chapter, this 12th verse. If you can unmute, please, Girish Bhai, and repeat after me. Yeah, Girish and Harsha Bhai. Devi Surya Sahasrasya.
Devi Surya Sahasrasya.
Bhave Dyugapaduttita.
Bhave Dyugapaduttita.
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasyat.
Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasyat.
Bhasastasya Mahatmanah.
Bhasastasya Mahatmanah.
Okay, you can mute. We'll all chant together. Devi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yugapaduttita Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasyat Bhasastasya Mahatmanah. Everybody, please keep muted. So, Devi Surya Sahasra. Ramaben, keep your muted. Keep your computer muted.
I did.
No, it is unmute right now. Now it is muted. When you see that red line, is unmute. No, when you see that red mark, now it is muted. So don't touch that. Thank you. So Devi, so in the sky, Surya Sahasrasya, 1,000 suns. Surya means sun, Sahasra means 1,000 suns are seen by him. And how? Bhavet, as if it is Yugapat Uthita. Yugapat means together, Uthita means risen. So as if 1,000 suns have risen together in the sky. That's what he's seeing. And that is the light, Yadibha. If this kind of light, here we'll explain what this light is. Sadrushi, in this way, this is the example I can think of. One example I can think of, Sanjay says, as if 1,000 suns have risen. Sadrushi, in this way, Bhasa means the light of this Mahatma, this great divine being that has appeared in front of me. The light is like the light of 1,000 suns. And Oppenheimer, you know, he was the father of the atomic bomb. He was a great Jewish scientist, American. And I'll tell you shortly his story. It's a beautiful story. So he actually was the father of the atomic bomb. He had discovered, I mean, there was a whole science team in the Alamos laboratory, but he was the main one. And they had a test explosion in the desert, just a test. And when he was watching from a safe distance, he said exactly the same word. He said, you know, what I am seeing, the atomic explosion was described in the Bhagavad Gita. Those were his exact words. He said, just as in Bhagavad Gita, they could see 1,000 suns. That's what I am seeing. So Oppenheimer had studied. In fact, his famous quotation is that the greatest privilege of this century is that we are able to study the Vedas. The ability to study the Vedas is the greatest privilege of this century as opposed to any other century. So think about it. An American Jewish scientist is telling us what the glory of our scriptures is. And so the point is, we are so blessed that we are able to study the Bhagavad Gita, study the Upanishads, study the Vedas. All these great teachers are available to us. You can go on the internet and, you know, hear commentary on any chapter, any topic. I think Chinmaya channel is where what I would recommend. Go to YouTube, and in Chinmaya channel, you'll find beautiful talks by all the Mahatmas. So when they say 1,000 suns, there are two meanings that you can interpret. One is that suppose there is one sun, you know, that has come out. Now, if we go out, how long can you look up at the sun? Few seconds, right? Then your eyes will start burning. If even in the summer, even 5 or 10 minutes to stand out in the sun becomes unbearable, especially in the Bakersfield heat. Not so much in Toronto for auntie, but for us, to bear that heat is so difficult. So think about it, 1,000 suns. But these suns and this one sun that we see is 93 million miles away. It's not even close to us or near. It's 93. And still the amount of heat it is able to generate, where it can nourish all the plants and the birds and, you know, bloom and birds fly and the flowers bloom and you and I can live, it's because of that. So one sun, which is a small size star, and there are billions and billions of such stars. In fact, they say that there are quasars, which just that one star is millions and millions of times more powerful than our sun. So those are the, that's the vastness of this universe. So how, what would have happened when 1,000 suns arose? But there are two descriptions. One is that it was a very gentle light, where even though the light was so powerful, it was a very soothing light, like the light of the moon. You know how so soothing it is? So this was a light that blessed everybody. It was very soothing, very calming, very peaceful light, and very enriching light. The other meaning of light is, you know, we always think light as some light must have come, but it is the light of knowledge, the light of understanding, that he gave the right knowledge to Arjuna, that whatever you see is my Vishwarupa. And same thing to Sanjay, that everything you see in this universe, good and bad, is my. So this is an intellectual understanding. It's not necessary that you have to see this 1,000 suns. You just go out and see everything as God, and that's all. That's all the purpose of this 11th chapter is. And Saint Teresa said that. She says, it's very beautifully, she says, when I saw that divine vision, it was so strong that I was blinded and I was just numbed, and I couldn't even think, I couldn't talk. She says, for it was like I was just stunned. And so it's exactly the same description, but in different times. So the point is that all these great masters experienced that same truth, but they translated to us at different times, in different ways, because this truth is very difficult to explain. And that is why, you know, that's why Islam seems different from Christianity, seems different from the Hinduism, from the Vedic teachings, Buddhism, because different masters were speaking to different students at different times in history. And according to the level of the student and the language of that time, the masters were speaking. So we think that these teachings are different, but the experience of these masters is all the same. And then they tell us that this light that is outside, that is illumining this entire universe, illumining does not only mean lighting, but giving life. Like the life to the plant to grow and the bird to fly and the fish to swim, and for you and me to talk and listen, is that light that is not only outside, but light within. So see that light within. See that light is light of consciousness, light of knowledge. So go beyond. But we say, you know what problems I have? My problem, nobody else has that problem. You know, everybody has problems. Go beyond my problems as my problems. And that is the understanding of this particular chapter. We'll go to the next verse. This is the most beautiful verse. Everybody should memorize this 12th verse with the meaning, Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yuga Padutita Yadi Bhasadrishi Sasyat Bhasas Tasya Mahatmanaha. What is the vision of the great Sanjaya? We should also bring it in our life. We'll go to verse number 13. Tatraikastham jagat kritsnam.
Tatraikasyam jagat krutvam.
Pravibhaktam anekadha.
Pravibhaktam anekadha.
Apashyadeva devasya.
Apashyadeva devasya.
Sharire pandavastada.
Sharire pandavastada.
Together, you can please mute. Tatraikastham jagat kritsnam. Pravibhaktam anekadha. Apashyadeva devasya. Sharire pandavastada. So tatra, there, ekastham, in one place. What did Arjuna see? Jagat kritsnam. Kritsnam means the entire jagat, the entire world Arjuna saw in one place. But pravibhaktam anekadha, in many ways divided. That's what we see. We see this one universe. But we see divisions, you know, animals and plants and birds and humans and me and mine and male and female and children. It apparently divided. That's what we see. We don't see that oneness because our vision is still at I and mine. But the Mahatma or the great souls can see that oneness. So he says, appearing to be divided. And also there are divisions. It's not that there is no division between man and animal and bird and plant, but the substratum or the support of all of them is one. The essence of all of them is one, even though they appear different. And who saw? Pandava, the Arjuna saw apashyat. Apashyat means the past tense. Apashyat is the past tense. Deva Devasya, of the God of Gods, what did he see? In the Sharire, that's the seventh case, in the form of the Lord, who saw Pandava, Arjuna saw that what? He saw this entire universe in one place as if divided. So as I said, it is an intellectual understanding. It's not that you don't see the variety. You see the variety. That's what he says. It is the variety, but at the base of it, there is one. And in chemistry, we are taught that. Gurudev in his commentary says, he says, ultimately, the entire universe gets focused to what? 92 elements. There are 92 elements which constitute this entire universe: iron, magnesium, copper, zinc, carbon, you know, nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen. When you total up the 92 elements, all of us are that. We are a total of 92 elements. But then physicists go even deeper. They say all of us are atoms. Atoms are small. Molecules, then atoms. And then they're all made of atoms. And then what are atoms made of? Protons, neutrons, and electrons. So we, all of us, are nothing but protons, neutrons, and electrons. You know, there is a proton and there's neutron and electron circling. And whether it's a table or whether it's a fan or whether it's my body or whether it's an animal, we are all just those three things. So where is the difference? How can you say that I am different from anybody else? We are all the same, protons, neutrons, electrons. That's all it is. And then when you go to subatomic particles, they say that these subatomic particles appear and disappear rapidly. It's like a constant movement going on. And suddenly the particle is there and it's gone. And you, what happened? Even physicists cannot explain it. And we are all just matter and energy. You know, matter and energy put together is everything, whether it's a plant, whether it's a human, whether it's my body. We are all that. That's why they say, and what is matter? Matter and energy are one. That's what Einstein told us, E equals mc squared. So we are all matter and energy together. Then I was reading a very interesting description. He says there are these neutron stars. Some of these things, when you research, you realize how little we know. So he says there are these neutron stars which are vast and they are so heavy. I couldn't even fathom it. He says one tablespoon of that material, if you carry, it is several trillion tons. Just one tablespoon, that huge star, one tablespoon weighs trillions of tons. You forget about carrying it. You can't even fathom it. And ultimately that weight is so much that it just collapses. The whole star collapses and then disappears into the black hole. And you ask physicists, where did that matter? It's all a black hole. So what vastness and what wonderful we are seeing in this chapter when we go into the detail. And the best thing was Arjuna didn't need to go anywhere. He did not need to go into space. He did not need to even leave the chariot. He was sitting there and Bhagwan brought it right here. He said, Iha, right here you can see, O Arjuna, right here I will show you. And same thing, Sanjay did not have to leave the palace, sitting in the palace. So that's what the blessing of this chapter is, that sitting in our living rooms, in our family rooms, in our bedrooms, we are able to experience the vastness of this wonderful vision. Krishna to Arjuna, and through Gurudev's commentary, which all of you have, if you not have, I would suggest you buy that. You can see this, study this in your own home, how wonderful this vision was. So it is really a blessing for us. We'll do the last verse today, the fifth verse. We'll try to do five verses every week. So we'll chant verse number 14.
Tatasavishmaya vishtah.
Vishtaro madhananjayah.
Vishtaro madhananjayah.
Pranamya shirasa devam.
Pranamya shirasa devam.
Kritanjali.
Kritanjali bhavata.
Okay, you can mute please together. Tatas savismaya vishtah rishtaro madhananjaya shirasa devam kritanjali rabhashat. So tata, there, then what happened? Saha means this Arjuna, that's what Sanjay is telling us. This Arjuna, what happened to him? Vismaya vishtaha. Vishta means filled with vismaya. Vismaya means wonder. So see, Sanjay could not only see Arjuna and see the Lord's form, but he could go into the mind of Arjuna and see the wonder of this, wonder of wonders. That's what Arjuna will, next week we'll talk about Arjuna's description. Today we are only listening to Sanjay's. So he says, Vismaya avishtaha, filled with wonder, filled with amazement. Wow, you know, that's all he could say. So he says, this Dhananjaya is one of Arjuna's names because he could win over battles and collect wealth for his kingdom. So that's why one of his names, Dhananjaya. So Arjuna, Vismaya Vishtaha, his mind was filled with wonder. There was nothing else except stunned, as I said. And Hrishta Roma, and his hair was standing on end. That's why when you see something horrible or you see something wondrous where you can't explain it, that's called horripilation, where the hair stands on end. If you're watching a very scary movie or if you're seeing something wondrous that you can't explain, then the hair stands on end. So Hrishta Roma, Roma means hair. Hrishta means their hairs were standing on end. That's what his condition was. He was filled with wonder. His hairs were standing on end. And what only thing what he could do was Pranamya Shirasa Devam. Pranamya Shirasa, his head bow down to this God. That's what, you know, when we go to the temple, we bow down. So he did that right in the battlefield. He bowed down to Bhagwan Shri Krishna. And then Kritanjali, and with his palms folded, Abhashata, he spoke. So Arjuna, who was the warrior and who was thinking all along that Bhagwan Shri Krishna is my charioteer, my chauffeur, suddenly he realizes that this is not an ordinary being I am seeing. He's not just my friend, or he's just not my relative, or he's not my chauffeur or driver, but he is something wondrous, something great. So that's what happens to us, and that's what happened to many great Mahatmas. I'll quote a few. I already talked about Oppenheimer, I talked about Moses. Saint Paul, when he went and saw this great form and he was granted that vision, it is said for 3 days he just lay paralyzed. He couldn't move, with not even eating, drinking, nothing. He was just unconscious. He was just stunned with that. And then slowly he came out of that, you know, vision. And even we know about, we have heard about Valmiki, how he was in that state where the anthills grew around him. And he, for years, he stayed in that. Raman Maharishi, this has happened in the 20th century. They found him in the rocks. He was sitting in that cave under the temple, and he was actually, his whole body grew into the rock, and the rock was, and they had to actually dig him out of the rock, and there were ulcers and sores all over his body. So when these people go into that, then that description is indescribable. That's why Prannaji in his Pani, Prannaji was a great saint of the 17th century. What I have seen, I am unable to describe. He says human words are not capable of describing what I have seen. And yet, he took a whole chapter in this Vani out of 18 chapters of several few thousand verses describing the glory of Paramdham, what the supreme abode he has seen. He says, why are you describing? Why are you, if you say you cannot describe, then first of all, why are you taking so many verses? And then why are you telling us? He says, because I want you also to go and experience that for yourself, so that you may also see that truth that I have seen. You may experience that beauty that I, so all these great saints describe this state of divinity, of this godhood or oneness, not to brag or not to show off their knowledge, but to encourage us that what I have seen is so wondrous that you also please go and do that. So all the scriptures are meant to inspire and encourage us to go to that highest truth. And then there was a Saint Thomas Aquinas, these beautiful examples. Now this Saint Thomas Aquinas was a great philosopher, had written multiple books and thousands of, you know, ideas and commentaries, and very prolific writer, very smart, very knowledgeable. And finally, he had that divine experience of oneness with God. And when he came out of it, he said, just draw, has no value. He said, I thought I knew a lot. I thought I could write a lot. I thought I could speak a lot. He says, but so far, whatever you have heard, read from me is useless. It's straw, because there is no way I can describe the glory of this great being that we have experienced. So that is the purpose of this 11th chapter, that we see the vastness, we sink our individuality and become one, and develop this attitude of humbleness, which Arjuna experiences. Pranamya Shirasa Devam Kritanjali Rabhashyata. He bowed down to the Lord and with folded hands. So the idea is that I should myself also become humble, that in by myself I am no thing, I am nothing. I is nothing, that alone is, and that alone is functioning. So one should develop an attitude of humility and gratitude. And that's what happened to Arjuna, where he bowed down with folded hands and he forgot himself. And that is what I have to do. Forget my individuality. Again, does not mean my individuality, because in America they talk a lot about I and my. Yeah, I have to accomplish whatever, but without the ego that whatever I am accomplishing is me. God alone is functioning through me. If I'm speaking and if I think I am talking, then that will just fatten my ego. And we were reading in Vivek Chudamani that the ego loves that. You know, you say, I am a very humble, most humble person. Ego says, great, great. You say you are the most humble person. That's good. Keep on saying it, because that is fattening the ego. Or you say, I am more spiritual than the other person. I go to the temple 3 times a week. He goes once a month. Ego says, go ahead, keep doing it. Karte raho, karte raho. Because ego is very happy. Anything that you say that I am better than the other, he says, okay, keep on doing it. When you say, I am working to negate my ego, ego says, yeah, go ahead, negate me. As long as you, we were just last Wednesday, we were talking, this ego is so subtle that we don't know when it arises. I can chant more shlokas than anybody else. I know more grammar, Sanskrit. Not that one should not chant shlokas or not know, learn grammar or not, you know, learn the scriptures or not go to the temple, but do them as a service to God, as a gratitude to God. And surrender that, God, it is because of your glory. Whatever is happening in this universe, it is you. Whatever is happening in my life, you are doing it. By myself, I am nothing. So that understanding that without God, how can I even a single breath I cannot take without God illumining. I cannot see, hear, smell, taste, touch, talk, walk, speak. Nothing I can do without that. So that is the beauty of this chapter. And as we'll see next week, it is the highest poetry. And most of this chapter is done in the larger meter, the fast meter, as you'll see from next week. The meter will change. I would request, Sudha, if you can please chant next week with me. Sudha, I don't see the video.
Sure, Uncle.
Yeah, and then you can do the aarti and also the all that next week.
Yes, no problem.
Yeah, okay. So we'll because it's a little different meter, so Sudha can, and then we can ask others to chant after me. So you will see that the meter will change, and most of this chapter has to be chanted very fast. It has to be done at a fast pace and a high pitch, because the poetry is phenomenal. They say that the poetry and the descriptions and Arjuna's state of wonderment, how when he sees the form of Lord, what emotions he goes through, what happens to him. So all that we'll see next week. So today, basically, we saw Sanjay's description where he's stunned and he's showing us the various, he's talking about the various forms of God and the weapons and the ornaments and the fragrance. And 1,000 suns that have risen in the sky, that's the glory of this, as if 1,000 suns have risen together. And how he says, I can see the whole universe appearing divided, but one. Appearing divided, but one. And that is what Arjuna saw. And once he saw it, his mind was filled with gratitude, filled with humility. And he realized that what he's seeing in front of him is not just his driver, but the Supreme Bhagwan, Supreme Lord himself, appearing in the form of Sri Krishna. So that is the essence of these 5 verses that we did today, 10 to 14. We have a few minutes. Anybody has any questions, comments? Most wonderful verses. It's so inspiring to be able to discuss them. Anybody would like to add to that?
I did have a question, Anil ji.
Yeah.
So Sanjaya has this vision that he's granted, this divine vision. Arjuna is slowly becoming or on his way to becoming realized. So is Sanjaya also realized, or is it just because of narration that he's being able to see?
I think he was given the vision. He was a very evolved soul. And even Arjuna, he was given that vision for him to see the vastness, but I don't think he achieved enlightenment. This was given to him to show him the vastness. And Sanjay was given that by Ved Vyasji for him to describe to Dhritarashtra what was going on in the Mahabharata war. And of course, he was a very evolved soul, and he actually had his sympathy with the Pandavas. He wanted Dhritarashtra to stop the war. And only person who could have stopped the war at this stage was Dhritarashtra. So Sanjay is telling him that your children are not fighting only the Pandavas, but they are fighting the Lord of the universe. So that's why Sanjay was his prime minister or his one of his advisors. And so he wanted to describe this to Dhritarashtra so he could stop the war. Dhritarashtra could have said, okay, let the kingdom be divided equally and let the war be stopped. So the vision, it expands your vision and makes it easier for you to become enlightened. But I don't know if Arjuna or Sanjay were enlightened, but they were highly evolved after this vision. They were able to grow tremendously, I think.
Okay.
I think for enlightenment, you have to actually experience that within. Right now, they are seeing it outside, but ultimately, when they experience the oneness within and without, that is enlightenment, which Dhruva experienced, which all these great Upanishad rishis have experienced, all these people that we talked about, like Saint Paul and Moses and all those, Jesus and, you know, Muhammad, all of them experienced that inner light or the inner vision, where you see that the light means the light of understanding, the light of knowledge, where you see that inside and outside both. And that's what Dhruva described, and that's what Prahlada, when he sees, so that, or when Mirabai, you know, when she could see that oneness, see Krishna everywhere, the Krishna alone is. So this is like a step in the progression, I think.
Thank you.
Vameva bhanta anubhati sarvam, tasya bhasha sarvam idam vibhati, om har har namah. Parvati Pate, Har Har Mahadev, Sri Sadguru Nath Maharaj, Arati Sri Chinmaya Sadguru Ki, Divya Rupa Murati Karuna Ki, Arati Sadguru Ki, चरणों में उनके शांति समाए शरणागत की प्रांति मिटाए पाप ताप संताप हरण की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की वेद उपनिषद गीता को गाया धर्म सनातन फिर से जगाया शुद्ध नीति प्रीति शंकर की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की सिद्धवाड़ी की तपोभूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे भक्त हृदय आनंद श्रोत की आरती श्री चिन्मय सतगुरु की आरती सतगुरु की आरती सतगुरु की
गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय. Everybody please take the aarti. Would you like to do the Kayena Vacha, Harsha?
You can go ahead.
Okay. Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Udhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami Narayanayeti Samarpayami Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet Om Asato Ma Satgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Thank you very much. Harihi Om.